It's good to see you here at this first service of the two here in Fresno. My name is Brent, and I'm one of the pastors here. Special hello to those of you that are watching online. Hopefully you're not watching online in Visalia today, because you got a great thing happening in Visalia. They are having their first baptism Sunday down there today, and we're pretty excited about that. So yeah, we're excited to see great things happening there. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for Pastor David and partner with him on this teaching series that he came up with, the idea of this uncommon sense idea, and we're going to continue that this morning. And yes, I also wanted to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I did get a haircut. Okay, so, because some of you are like, did he get a haircut? And I'm like, yeah, they got a lot of them, right? A lot of them. So little more than I thought. So anyway, hey, have any of you guys heard any good ant or sluggard jokes lately? No? Anyone at all? No? Yeah, last week we did a teaching series, Pastor David and I co-taught. And a lot of you emailed me your jokes this week, yes, or caught me in the plaza with your jokes this week. Two of them that I'm going to share with you this morning. One of them was from one of our preschool kids getting ready to go to preschool, and he's like, Pastor Brent, you know, I'm like, yeah, I got down there. He's like, I got a joke, and so I got down there, you know, and he said, who was the smartest ant ever? And I'm like, I don't know who. He's like, Albert Einstein. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And then one of our doctors this week said, hey, you know what happens when ants get sick? I'm like, no, they give them antibiotics. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. The truth is after last week's message, where we're wrestling with what does it mean to be lazy, what does it mean to be disciplined, comparing and contrasting a slug and an ant, probably, as Jeremy mentioned earlier, maybe you made some decisions, and those decisions have had an impact, positive or negative. Some of you have made a decision to go back to school. Some of you made a decision to start looking for a different job. Some of you have made the wise decision to start helping out around the house. Some of you are now prayerfully deciding what God has in store next for you. Some of you have been wondering whether or not you should start having kids. Others of you, should we have no kids? Should we have more kids? Or how can we get rid of the kids that we have? Some of you are thinking. Some of you are, should I ask her out on a date? Some of you are thinking, should I ask her to marry me? And some of you are wondering, how do I break up with him before he asks me to marry him, right? Some of you have got some really important decisions to make, like, should I get, you know, a pet? Should I get a dog or another dog? Because you don't want a cat. You've got some big decisions to make. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to unpack that whole idea of how can we live wisely in a world that's become a little bit foolish. And if I could give you my message in a moment or a sermon in a sentence, it would simply be this. And if you're taking notes, I would love to have you guys write this down. Please do, because innocent trees died for your notes today, okay? So write this down. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make decisions, and our decisions, as the result of those decisions, make who we are. You today are a result of the decisions that you made yesterday. And as a result of being here this morning, whether you're watching online or you're here live with us, you are going to be different tomorrow based on the decisions that you choose and choose not to make today. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be comparing and contrasting what Solomon, this author of this book of Proverbs that we're studying through, would call wise behavior and what he would call foolish behavior. And how hopefully, as a result of being here today for this hour, that you are going to walk away here with some helpful, some practical, some applicable, but most important, biblical perspective of how we can live wisely in a foolish world. Now, to do that, let's focus in on the biblical part. In your Bibles, if you wanted to turn in your Bibles, to turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And I realize for some of you to do that, you're going to need to turn to the table of contents. But 2 Chronicles is a story where we begin to see how Solomon became king. We learn that he was chosen to become king over Israel, and we've learned from other kings that it was very common for a king to sacrifice to God an offering of thanksgiving. Most common would be like sacrificing a bull. And what we know in Solomon's life is he chose not to sacrifice a bull or 10 or 100, but the Bible tells us that he sacrificed 1,000 bulls. And as an extravagant gift to God, as an extravagant offering to God. It got God's attention so much, it moved God so much, that he said to Solomon, whatever you want, ask me, and I will give it to you. What we know is that for many of us, if we were given that opportunity to get anything that we wanted, probably, some of us would say, a lot of money would be great. Some of us would probably say, you know what, if I had some power, more power, that would be great. Others of us, if I had a little bit of more notoriety or fame, that would be great. You know, there are many of us, if we're being honest, there's some things that if we could snap our finger with right now and a decision could be made for us, we would do it. Maybe gals, you're in your 30s right now, you've never been married, and you're just wishing that God would provide the perfect mate for you and a husband. Guys, some of you in your 30s are looking for a smoking hot wife who knows how to cook. And pray too, right? Some of us are wondering, what does the future hold? There are some decisions that need to be made. For some of you, and I'm being very honest, many of you, you're going through an ailment right now. There's a physical condition, maybe cancer or a condition, and if you could have God answer that prayer request now, that would be your one request to God. It's interesting to note that Solomon, being a man, a human being, just like all of us, could have said all of those things, but instead wisely made this his one request. Give me wisdom and knowledge, he says in 2 Chronicles 1:10, that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon could have asked for money. He could have asked for fame and power. He could have asked for notoriety. He could have asked for being mighty in battle against his enemies. But instead, he simply asked for wisdom and knowledge. And as a result, God gave him not only wisdom and knowledge, but gave him power, gave him fame, gave him incredible wealth. You know, we can learn some lessons, some wise lessons from Solomon. And all the way through this book of Proverbs, which is really just a book of wisdom, we see time and time and time and time and time again that this is the primary message of the book of Proverbs. Maybe even summarized in Proverbs 16:16 that says this: how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Would you just write the word choose on your notes, please, somewhere? Just write the word choose. Because at the end of the day, the word choose means a choice. It literally means a decision. And you're going to have a choice of whether you're going to go with culture or you're going to be countercultural in how you choose to live. See, there are these things of God that at times seem foolish to man. But Solomon shows us that there is a counterintuitive way to live. We see in this passage right here, he talks that there is nothing more valuable than gold, except for wisdom. See, gold in our culture is valuable, but for millennia, it has been incredibly valuable. It has been the most valuable commodity on earth, and it has represented not only wealth, it's represented not only power, but it has represented prestige. And he says the second is like it, silver. So when we begin to think on this earth, what would be the most valuable things we could have? In his culture, it would be gold and silver. Jesus, when asked, what's the most important law? He answered, to love God and to love others. What Solomon, in his own way, was saying is there's nothing more valuable, not even gold or silver, than the wisdom that God can give you. You know, early on in ministry, this is some over 20 years ago, I was placed into ministry, and if I'm being honest, I was called, but I didn't feel equipped. I was there working in ministry. I really felt like I had no idea what I was doing. And a mentor of mine came into my life, and I was literally thinking about quitting, and I'll never forget what Mike said to me. This is what he said: Brent, if you feel like you don't know what you're doing, can I challenge you to read a proverb a day? It'll keep the devil away. Read a proverb a day, and it'll keep the devil away. On the top of your notes, you see this Proverbs challenge. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's normally no more than 31 days in a month. And for a complete year, I read a proverb a day. And I need to tell you something. There was a marked improvement in my relationships. there was a marked improvement in how I handled money, a marked improvement on how I treated other people, and a marked improvement on my teaching as well. Because I'm confident that I am here some 20 years later because I took seriously the challenge to read God's word, specifically the Proverbs, every day. I could have been probably an average pastor, but God, based on his wisdom through me, allowed me to impact a generation. Because I believe this with all my heart. I am here today because of the book of Proverbs. Solomon says these words in chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is supreme. And notice what he says. Get what, everyone? Wisdom. Get smart, though it costs all that you have. Get understanding. Guys, there's a couple of things here that I want to unpack here. First of all is that wisdom is available for everyone who's hearing my voice. Whether you're online or you're here, you can make better choices. It's available for all of us. And yeah, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you at times some time. At times it's going to cost you comfort. At times it might even cost you some friends. But as a result of this, whatever cost that you pay here now, it will reap in dividends later and forever. You know, one of the sad parts, though, about wisdom and about foolishness is sometimes we don't realize when we're being wise, and I know especially we don't realize when we're being foolish. If we knew we were being foolish when we were being foolish, we probably wouldn't do it. Would you guys agree with me on that? Foolishness is when you begin to look back later and you think to yourself, what in the world was I thinking? Let me give you a couple examples here. Foolishness. I grew up in the 80s. Foolishness made those of us have haircuts that looked like this right here. Now, that's foolishness. That looked like a lot of the girls that went to prom when I went to prom in the 80s. And then I actually had a haircut a lot like this over here, kind of the mullet in the back. And so kind of like business in front, party in the back, right? So, you know, you would get like a guy in a mullet and you get a girl with a lot of spray net in her hair that need to stay away from fire. And then they would fall in love and they would have kids and then they would make children look like that right there, right? Now, I got to tell you, at the time, they're probably thinking, this is a great idea. But then later on in life, the kids are saying to the mom and dad, how would you let me ever look like that? We don't realize we're being foolish at the time. But later on, we're like, what in the world was I thinking? Some of you are like, I never had hair like that, Brent. But you wore parachute pants, right? Some of y'all wore hammer pants, right? There was a time when we thought the more zippers on your pants, the wiser you were. And it's just not true. Now, the funny part about this is at the time, it seemed like a great idea, but we look back and we think to ourselves, whoever had the idea of hammer time, right? Who thought breakdancing was ever awesome? The truth is this. Please take that picture off. All right, all right. All right, thank you. All right. So we make foolish decisions all the time when we speak too quickly and don't think, when we hurt people that we love, when we have purchases that we don't think all the way through, when we have an emotional response, when we become blinded by pride, we too can become foolish. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to share four very common foolish responses of how we at times can live foolishly in a foolish world. And then I want to combat those with some wisdom of how God wants us to live. Sound good, everyone? Number one, if you're taking notes, please write this down. A foolish person speaks before they think. A foolish person speaks before they think. Guys, I want to lead the way here. Guilty as charged. I say stuff all the time before I think it all the way out. And here's scary. I'm the one that has a microphone on my head right now, right? I look back here, and I was thinking of all the things that I did dumb, and I mean, I did some dumb things. I said some stupid stuff, right? But probably in the top 10 of dumb things that I ever did is about 12 years ago when I was a teaching pastor down at a pretty good-sized church in Southern California. After a message, and I was out in the lobby like I'll be here after today, had a gal come to me, and she's like, Pastor Brent, such a great message. Can you pray for me this week? I'm like, absolutely. How can I pray for you? Well, you know, I'm going to be having a procedure done. And I'm like, okay, what procedure are you having done? I learned at an early age, never ask a woman in her mid-40s what procedure she's having done, especially in Southern California. Why? Because she went into great detail what procedures she was having done and the enhancements that she was having done. And let's just say I didn't recognize her a month later. I'm glad she let me know about that. Now, the funny thing about that is I learned the lesson the hard way earlier on when you just never ask someone if they're pregnant. Amen? You just never do that. You just never do that. Ever do that. And as a pastor, you never ask for details on procedures, right? Now, the proverb says this in Proverbs 13, verse 16, wise people think before they talk, before they act, and fools don't. They even brag about their foolishness. So you can see here that I'm a double fool, because not only do I say stupid stuff that I shouldn't say, but then I kind of talk about it publicly. Guys, what am I saying? I'm saying is we've all done some foolish stuff and said some foolish things before we thought it all the way through. Amen? Amen. Number two, we learned this last week, and I'm not going to go into it too much today. Foolish people spend all they earn. Foolish people spend all they earned. Last week, we looked at the ant and how an ant would store up, would work hard, was diligent, had a great work ethic, and we compared and contrasted the diligence of an ant with the laziness of a slug, whereas a sluggard would always be just doing the bare bones minimum. The sluggard would not be saving for times of difficulty. A sluggard was always living beyond their means. When I begin to think about a sluggard, I think about a guy named Wimpy. Remember Popeye and Wimpy? And he would say this, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, okay? That was a picture of a sluggard. That's a person who did not understand delayed gratification. I want it now, even if I have to pay for it later, double fold, I want what I want, and I want it now. Because what I want to say is that there is nothing wise about a person who lives beyond their means. The Bible says, Solomon says in Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all they have. Everyone, I understand that there's tough times and difficult times, but if there's a systemic, there's this ongoing where you find yourself never having enough and you don't have a budget, that's foolish. If you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck and you don't have a plan, that is foolish. If you find yourself continually living beyond your means, waiting for your ship to come in and playing the lottery system for your retirement, that is foolishness. A next step is I encourage you to get a budget. I encourage you to go to Financial Peace University. And if you need help with credit counseling or debt counseling, I want to challenge you to use the wisdom of not allowing yourself to be prideful and just on your connection card ride, help with my money, circle it, and we will come alongside. And also read a proverb a day. It'll keep the devil away in that part of your life. Number three, if you're taking notes, what do foolish people do? They hurt the people that they love. You guys have heard that said before? Oftentimes we hurt the ones we love the most. And unfortunately, that's what foolish people do. Nobody ever knowingly wants to be that nagging, controlling, and belittling family member. Nobody ever wants to be known as the angry, domineering, and manipulative person at work. But the truth is that our actions are what we believe. And our decisions are going to impact our destiny. And when we begin to have these destructive patterns with our words and our actions, what happens is we begin to live out lives of foolishness, and they're destructive lives. This is how Proverbs says it in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. He says, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. That's kind of double talk for saying is that we have a choice in our life. We can build up, or we can be those that are destructive and we tear down. If you've ever found yourself in a compulsive inability to be able to say no, the Bible says, why do I do what I don't want to do, and why don't I not do what I want to do? If you find yourself in a situation where life has become more challenging for you than you know what to do, you find yourself struggling with a hurt or a habit or a hang-up, can I encourage you with all of my heart to take a next step and be a part of a ministry called Celebrate Recovery? Celebrate Recovery is something that we offer on Friday nights. And I just want to say, if you've ever had the stigma that Celebrate Recovery is for those people, but you are finding yourself resonating with one to two to three of these things that I've talked about, I encourage you to humble yourself and begin the process of moving towards finding freedom in Christ through some of these destructive habits. Maybe you need a good Christian counselor, or you just need to talk to a pastor, or could I encourage you to read a proverb a day? It'll keep the devil away. Number four, if you're taking notes, what do foolish people do? They think they know it all. So if you find yourself right now discounting everything that I've said, you may be a redneck, right? This may be you. This might be your sign. You might be struggling with foolish pride. You see, there's something really cute about a child that says fun, little, silly things. Like when the little kid came to me this week and told me that Albert Einstein was the, you know, the smartest ant of all time. It was really cute. He's like 3 years old and he had a lisp, right? It was cute. But when we get older and we talk that way, there is nothing cute about that. It's actually just sad. And if you want to see foolishness on display, let me encourage you to go to an online forum where people are commenting about political things right now. You're going to see foolishness on display. Proverbs says in Proverbs 12, verse 15, fools think that their own way is right, but the wise, what everyone, listen to others. You know, I've heard it said this way. It's not in the Bible, but it sure seems like it should be, that it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. You know, I think God in his sovereignty gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Possibly it's because some of us need to be listening twice as much as we're talking. And yes, I'm talking about our politicians today. So what am I saying? I'm saying wisdom is supreme, and we need to get wisdom, though it costs everything. We need to get understanding. Wherever you are this morning, you have a decision to make. I want to tell you, wisdom is available. It is achievable, but you have to make a decision to make a decision. And if you do, I'm going to tell you the trajectory of your life and the quality of the life of those that you love will only increase. So what I want to do is, in the time that I have remaining, I want to share with you how we cannot live lives of foolishness, but how we can embrace the wisdom that God gives us through the book of Proverbs. So if you're taking notes, let's turn the corner. Here we go. Number one, a wise person fears God. A wise person fears God. Now, when I say fears God, maybe some of you think that that means that we need to be afraid of God, that we need to be afraid that God is going to strike us down when we do something bad, that we need to be afraid of God, that he's going to have a grumpy day, and that he's going to be the cosmic killjoy that zaps us. But that's not what the fear of the Lord is at all. The fear of the Lord is to honor the Lord. It is to give him the reverence that he deserves. Proverbs 9, verse 10, these are Solomon's words, says this, that the fear of the Lord, let's say it out loud, church, is what? The beginning of wisdom. Guys, if you find yourselves at a crossroads right now that you need to make a good choice and decision, my first question to you is this: have you brought it to the Lord? Have you brought it before him, and have you said, would this bring honor to him or would this shame him? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As Solomon clearly communicates that for wise choices to be made, what we need to do is we need to bring these choices to the God of the Bible. But our problem is sometimes we have created a God that is not the God of the Bible. We've turned him into something other than who he is. Guys, I want to remind you something, that our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our God is above all things. He is to be honored. He is to be respected. He is to be revered. And he alone is worthy of our worship. We are to fear the Lord. And I think what's happened is in our culture that I love, that is casual in many ways, I think we've made our understanding of God too casual. In the process of that, we've kind of viewed God as the big guy in the sky, or Jesus as our homeboy. Because I need to let you know something, that is not the God of the Bible. Though he is our friend and we are his kids and he loves us, we need to be reminded of the fact that our God is holy. Our God is righteous, our God is powerful, and he deserves our honor and our praise. Amen. Guys, wisdom. Yeah, that's worth clapping for right there, guys. You know, we're going to be launching this next year in January a discipleship initiative called Rooted. And Rooted is something that a handful of you have begun to go through. And when you have the first chapter of Rooted, what we do is we start with this point right here, having a rooted biblical understanding of the God of the Bible, and that we realize that who this God is and how we choose to live in his world determines whether or not we're a healthy disciple of Jesus. Our decisions in life will either bring honor to God or bring disgrace to him. Guys, I need to remind you, as a pastor, I'm going to stand before that God one day, and I'm going to have to give an account of my life. And every one of us, even watching online, you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to give an accounting of your life. And that is something not to be afraid of, but something to embrace, because we serve a God who is worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our respect, and we should begin with that position right there. For some of you, that means today making a decision for him. For some of you today, there's a part in your life that has become foolish that needs to get back in line. You need to repent of that. For some of us, it's obedience and becoming baptized. I'm not sure what it is, but there's a next step that I want you to take in Christ's direction today. Number two, what do wise people do? Wise people ask God. I know some of you think that is so duh, Brent, right? It's almost insulting. It's like you're reactivating my carpal tunnel just to write that down. But guys, I need to tell you something. It at times is the simple things that we forget. Guys, if you'll trust me now and believe me later, if you will ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. This is not just a Proverbs thing. This is all the way through the Bible. James in the New Testament says these words. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should what, everyone? Ask God. And what does God do? He's stingy with it, right? No, he's generous with it. And he's not going to be pointing at you and telling you that you're stupid and you're dumb. No, he's going to say, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Guys, this is the good news of God's grace and love for us, is that we're not alone in his world, but he's given us his word to guide us, his spirit to lead us, and we can ask him, and he will give us wisdom in the decisions that we're making. I want to remind you something, that you are here today based on the decisions you made yesterday, and decisions you're making today are going to inform your future destiny. And if you're not asking God, what decisions should I make, then you are becoming foolish and you don't even realize it. I want to give a little pastoral confession. Hundreds of times a day, I pray subconsciously now that God would give me his wisdom to discern and his courage and strength to respond. When I have a text message and I don't know how to respond, I pray that God would give me wisdom. When there's a conversation, when there's an email, when there's a letter, when there's a decision, I'm always praying, God, would you give me the wisdom to know how to respond, and then your strength and your courage to do it. And I know how to respond once I push pause because I've asked God. I want you to, guys, check this out. It's going to pop up on the screen right now. It says this. You have to want, you know, if you want wisdom from God, you have to spend time with God. If you want wisdom, you got to spend time with him, which is why we're challenging you to begin to make this reading a proverb a day a part of your life. Because when you begin to go to his word, you begin to realize his word becomes alive. And there's some of us, we live in this fast food culture world, and we want what we want, and we want it now. And I want to give you some bad news and some good news. The bad news is that you cannot microwave spiritual maturity. But to grow in Christ's likeness, it's more like a crock pot. But you make sure you plug it in. There's nothing worse than putting in a crock pot in the beginning of the day. All you ladies are like, I know, because my husband never plugs it in, right? Yeah. Guys, if you're not plugged into God's word, you're missing out on his truth. I want to encourage you right now. Seriously, like, stop listening to me. Just start reading the book of Proverbs, because it's not going to let you down. One more thing. Two more things. A wise person walks with wise people. A wise person walks with wise people. I kind of feel like we need a good old-fashioned amen to that right there. Amen? All the parents, at least, right, who have kids. Guys, don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at Solomon's word for it. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools, what, everyone? Suffers harm. Remember Mama always asking you, who you're spending time with? Remember that growing up? They always wanted to meet your friends. Well, the reason is that we realize is that our friendships have an incredible impact on our life. Just yesterday on the way into church last night, my daughter said, you know, we are who we run with, Dad. I'm like, that's good. I'm going to say that. You know, Scripture would agree. Scripture would say that Bad company corrupts good character. And if we're serious about wanting to walk like Christ would want us to walk, we got to look at our relationships. I've heard it said this way, and I've said this way before, that our friendships determine the quality and the direction of our life. Who we choose to do life with will impact our destiny. And that's why, as I begin to look at people that are making poor choices, I'm reminded of the dumbest decisions that I made in high school and in college were because I was hanging around a bunch of foolish people. When I became serious about not becoming a cultural Christian, but a devoted disciple of Jesus, it was when I began to put myself closer with people that were walking closer to Jesus. Between my freshman and sophomore year of college, that entire summer of that year, I was on the hip of my college pastor. And I knew he was a disciple of Jesus, and I wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. When I was a single man and I knew I wanted to be married one day, instead of spending time with a bunch of other single people, I found myself wanting to spend time with other married couples who had healthy marriages because I wanted to learn from them. When I found myself struggling with finances, instead of spending time with a bunch of people that were broke, I wanted to spend time with people that had financial wisdom, and I learned from them. When Amy and I got married, we found people in our church that seemed to have a healthy marriage that were about 10 years further down the road, and we began to become friends with them because we wanted to have a healthy relationship like they did. And when we began to find out that we're going to start having a kid here pretty soon, after we got done freaking out, we started thinking to ourselves, well, we better find some parents whose kids aren't too annoying, right? Because everyone thinks their kids are cute, but we all know they're just annoying, right? Because obviously they're doing something right at home and with their kids. Guys, the bottom line is this. Who we place ourselves in proximity to is where we're ultimately going to end up. Men, I want you to lean in and listen to what I'm going to say. There are some of you, and based on whatever reason, you can't commit to a small group or a life group or a Bible study because of life. I'm going to ask you, would you please, on your calendar right now, next Thursday, not this Thursday, next Thursday morning, we're going to do a one-hour men's breakfast. And I want to personally invite you to be a part of it. Pastor Jeremy's going to share a great message. Animals will die for us to be there, right? And it's going to be a great morning. And we're going to have you out in time for work. If you can only be there and you got to leave real quick, that's fine. But here's the thing, y'all. There are some of you that you need to begin to make some better quality of friends. And so wives and girlfriends, fiancés, grab their phone, put it in the calendar right now, have them show up and be a part of it. And gals, you guys just naturally do a little bit better a job of putting yourself into community with other godly women. Tuesdays are great around here at Cross City. Kelly and her team are just doing such a great job. Literally every day of the week our women are doing it, and our men are as well. But I just want to say, whether you find yourself in college on Tuesday nights, or singles on Wednesday nights, or our second half seniors on Tuesday mornings or Wednesday mornings, wherever, guys, I'm gonna offend somebody because I just started mentioning too many people. But all I know is that our friendships determine the quality and the direction of our life. I encourage you to choose wisely who you're spending time with. As I begin to wrap up here and as the band comes out and I begin to close, I want to share one final one with you of what wise people do. Wise people decide to trust God. Wise people just make the decision to trust God. I got to ask you a rhetorical question. Who are you putting your trust in? Are you putting your trust in yourself, or are you putting your trust in God? Are you putting your trust in your finances, in your job, in your family? Because all of those things are good, but there's one that will never let you down. And he has a name. His name is Jesus. The Bible says a lot of things about what we should trust. One of my favorite scriptures says that we should not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Because there is an unseen God that is seen and revealed through his word and through his community that is letting us trust him and take him at his word. My favorite proverb of all time, probably yours as well, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Would you trust the Lord with all your heart? Would you lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, would you acknowledge him? And he's going to make your path straight. I don't know what you're trusting, who you're trusting, but today, would you trust God? I want to tell you something. God's not always going to show you what to do, but he's always going to give you the wisdom to decide. There's some decisions that some of you make. Some of them have been wise and some of them have been foolish. But today is a new day. Today is a day that you don't have to be in the past, but you can start looking into the future. Whether it's in your marriage or it's in your relationships or it's at work or it's at home or it's in life, today can be a new day. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. So God, I pray as we begin to respond to your word now, we begin to worship you as the one who is worthy of our worship, because we know that wisdom begins with a proper understanding of who you are. God, I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to reveal your truth, your wisdom in our minds. And God, I pray now as you're beginning to reveal some of those areas, maybe we find ourselves speaking before we're thinking. Maybe we find ourselves spending too much, hurting those that we love. Maybe we find ourselves being prideful and not willing to embrace the wisdom of others. God, I pray here and now that you'd begin to reveal to us what that next step is. And that, God, we'd begin to walk with wise people. That we begin to put ourselves in proximity with other disciples who are serious about becoming healthier versions of you, Jesus. So, God, now I pray that we would make a decision. And the decision wouldn't be that we would just stay where we are, but Holy Spirit, that you'd begin to prod us to start moving closer to Jesus. God, it's our mission to make more and better disciples. I pray now that people would become better disciples of Jesus, better decision makers. God, I pray that there would be decisions to be made, that maybe it's a rededication. Possibly it's a first-time decision. Maybe husbands and wives need to come forward in just a moment. Maybe it's being obedient through baptism, not knowing what it is right now. Holy Spirit, would you just reveal in our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word what it is? We desire to bring glory and honor to you. And if this is your prayer, would you say amen? Amen. Would you go ahead and stand at this time? We're going to close in a final song. Our pastors, our directors are going to come forward at this time. We'd love to pray with you. Guys, I need you to know something. That for some of you, you need a spiritual breakthrough. And I know in my life, the times that there's been a breakthrough have been the times that I've gotten out of my seat and I've said, would you pray with me? This is an opportunity for you to do that. I encourage you to not miss out on this, because God is with you. And if God is with you, who or what could ever be against you? Amen. Amen.